is beginning to ring, ring, ring to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Great to be with you here from Austin, Texas, at Bible Home Church, where we worship every week the Word of God.
This is part 5, and we only have 4 or 5 minutes left. This is the conclusion of our series entitled, The Tears of Jesus. What would make our Lord cry? Now, after the conclusion here, and it's only 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to return, and I'm very sincere in telling you, I believe that all things have prophetic dimensions. I want you to get out your pen and your paper, because I'm going to give you some Bible verses to study and contemplate and pray over, and we're going to talk about the prophetic nature of this thing. We don't have enough time, of course, to cover it all, and I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit, which the Bible says, as you know, no man need teach you, but the Holy Ghost will instruct you in all things. Tex Mars is not a good teacher. I know that. I do my best. I'm weak. I'm often confounded by the events of the world. But I know the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Spirit is a good teacher, is the best in the universe. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide my words to you today and will cause your hearts to have an understanding as we go over these prophetic scriptures that very truly have significant meaning. So at this time now, we're going to have the conclusion. We're not going to have any music today. I think I want to go direct to the scriptures for understanding right after the conclusion. This is the Tears of Jesus, part 5, for about 5 minutes, and then I'll be right back. God bless you, my friends. You're listening to Bible Home Church, and I'm Tex Mars. And when it's time and he does what he wants a loved one to be with him in heaven, he takes them. That's his prerogative. He's the king. We're the servant. But if he wants to, he'll heal. And he has healed many people, even on their deathbed. That's God's prerogative. And I want to tell you something. This may sound strange to you, but I believe God can even raise from the dead. I think he could even do it today. You say, well, if I have a loved one die, can I ask God to raise him from the dead? Yes, you can. Please understand, I'm not saying that God is going to be raising thousands of Christians that have died, raising them from the dead so that they can stay right here on earth in the flesh. I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but you know what? He can do anything he wants to do. Even today, he can raise, like Lazarus, people from the dead. He hasn't done it much. Obviously, even this is the only known case of Jesus raising somebody from the dead. I think God has set a pattern here. He only did this to show us today and his disciples then who he really was, what power he had. He had a reason for bringing Lazarus from the dead. And I'll tell you something, if I was Lazarus, I think I'd have come back been a little upset. It's much better to be with God than to be back here on earth. Lazarus probably disappointed. Well, I don't know that. I'm adding something to the Bible that's not there, but it could be. Paul said it would be better for me to be out of the body, to be with Christ, than to be in the body. And I believe Paul. Well, in any case, as we read these scriptures, we find out, then she said, oh yeah, he'll be raised the last day, and that was it. And then Jesus came, and there he found Mary. And Mary, she fell down at Jesus' feet and said the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was weeping. If only you had come. Here are two people who are much beloved of Christ. There his friend lay in the grave. He had the power to resurrect Lazarus, and they were saying to him, if only you had come before. Now it's too late. That's what they were saying. It's too late now. Oh, what little faith they had in the Lord God. But Jesus said, where have you laid him? They took him there. And he said, take away the stone. Martha said, we can't do that, Lord. He's been there dead 4 days. His body smells bad. It stinks. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. He came up from the dead. Now here was the part that I missed. When Jesus, it says there in the scripture, even before he resurrected Lazarus, as he saw them around, Mary and Martha and the others, the friends of the family, and they were all crying and mourning. It says Jesus looked upon the body of Lazarus lying there, and he cried. He cried. This was the second time Jesus cried. Now, I want to ask you, why did Jesus cry? Now, I've heard many preachers say, oh, it was because he was overcome with emotion seeing the body of Lazarus dead. He was just a compassionate man who died at the funeral service there of Lazarus. No, 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 no. Lazarus was not dead. And no, Jesus knew that in just a moment there would be laughter. There would be joy. There would be screaming and I mean, oh, they must have had a party. They must have, oh, they had such great enjoyment. What a wonder to see Lazarus come from the dead. He knew that in just a moment he would raise Lazarus and Lazarus would come forth. He wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He was fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wasn't dead. He was going to live eternally because he's a servant of God. What was Jesus crying for? I want to tell you very quickly and very powerfully. He was crying because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. They claimed to believe he was God, that he was the Christ who was to come, that he had all power, but they didn't even believe that he could resurrect their brother and friend. Lack of faith, unbelief, and they failed to ask him. They didn't say, Lord, please resurrect our beloved. No. And that's why Jesus cries, my friend, even today, at our lack of faith, at our unbelief. These things make Jesus cry.
Well, friends, that was, it seems like a just an unbelievable a series of messages there, and ending it even in the resurrection of the dead. And let me tell you something, my friends. What I said was true. God could resurrect all those who died, but he has arranged the world and planned and designed it from the foundation. And he has a reason. I don't always know. And many people even get angry with God when bad things happen, but we shouldn't. Please, please don't get angry with God. You see, we have a will. God has given us a will, and some men have chosen to do evil, but not God. And anyone led by the Spirit of God will be led into the fruit of righteousness and of goodness. First of all, the Bible says, and the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, was betrayed. He was arrested, imprisoned, beaten, tortured, put to death. He cried out not one time for revenge. Instead, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His disciples were distraught, bewildered, upset, grieved. But not one said, let us seek revenge. There is not one scintilla of evidence, either in the books of history or in the Bible, that his disciples ever said, we will get vengeance, an eye for an eye. They killed our Savior. Let us go forth as guerrilla fighters, as terrorists, and kill them. They could have struck back at the Romans. They could have struck back at the Jewish Sanhedrin. But what did they do? They preached to them. They told them the truth. Stephen did not seek a knife to kill the leader of the Jewish Sanhedrin in an assassination, but he stood on the street and told the people the truth of Jesus, and they stoned him to death. The first martyr of Christ. You see, my friends, this is the difference between God's people and the devil's servants. I'm not a part of a religion. I don't have a religion. I don't have a religious faith. I have a faith in Jesus Christ. And this makes all the difference in the world. You know, the poet Robert Frost once wrote a poem that was very meaningful. It talks about a person coming to a fork in the road. And there were two ways you could go, to the left or to the right. He saw that one of the paths was well-traveled, and most people went that way. But the other path was not at all traveled. It looked like almost no one had gone that way. And Robert Frost wrote, and he said, I took the path less traveled, and that made all the difference. Now, friends, most people will not take the path less traveled. They'll go the wide way to destruction. And I think that this is the problem today. When we're confronted with evil, instead of fighting that evil and doing it in a way that God ordains, instead we attempt to punch out the other person's eye. And as the old Jewish proverb said, if everyone goes around seeking an eye for an eye, before long everyone will be blind. There is nothing in the Bible that says we should not go to war and fight evil. In fact, there's only the other side. You remember the Roman centurion? Jesus praised him for his great faith. He did not say, shed your uniform and go away. But he praised him. This man who was in charge of military subordinates. Now, I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, and let me tell you, I didn't go in there seeking to do evil, but to serve God, to serve our country, and to serve you, my good friends. A lot of people say, but Tex, there will be innocent people killed if we retaliate. Yes, that's very unfortunate. In war, this always occurs and has always occurred. But this is the element of evil, that it weaves itself and it hides itself in such a way that innocent people are killed and slain and injured. But we cannot sit back and say we will let evil succeed. We will succumb to evil. I remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom, how this precious Christian lady shielded those that the Nazis sought to take away to concentration camps. And when they finally found that she was doing this, they took her away to a concentration camp too. Did she do wrong to fight evil? No, not at all. But the Nazis had taken over the government of her country. And doesn't the Bible say we are to obey those in government? But the government had become Nazified. And her own citizenry was controlled by puppet governments run by Hitler and his henchmen. And they told the people, turn in all the Jews, turn in all the rebels to us, go to the local police station and turn in their names. Do not try to hide and protect these Jews and others. But Corrie Ten Boom said, I will not do what the government tells me to do. I will do what God tells me to do in my heart. Sometimes, my friends, it's not just one little verse out of the Bible. Sure, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. But if you'll search that word out And if you look for reinforcement, yes, in the King James Bible I believe in, you will see that means thou shalt not murder. We have suffered from murderers. And my friends, now I believe blood cries out for justice. I remember reading in the book of Revelation, where at a certain time in world history, the martyrs of Jesus that are already in heaven bow before the throne, prostrate themselves before our Almighty God, and they cry out, Lord, when will our blood be avenged? Were they wrong to do this in heaven? Is it wrong to cry out for revenge for the blood that was shed? And the Lord told them, wait just a little longer, for there are even more mortars to come. But then God said, vengeance is mine. He will bring vengeance. And sometimes he uses people to accomplish that. He uses the courts. He uses police agencies. He uses military forces to bring justice. And any nation that claims it wants to serve God must have an effective system to punish heinous and criminal acts. And as long as we have a military force capable of doing that, we must do it, and we must pray for these people. And listen to me very carefully. I feel very strongly that we must pray. I don't know why I'm being led to tell you this, but we must pray for the protection of our president. You may have some misgivings. You may wonder whether he might be part of the Illuminati setup. But one thing I know, nothing good can come from doing evil. You know, isn't it interesting, my friends, that the ACLU and the ADL and these horrible antichrist groups, most of them led by Jews. Yes, Jews, I'm sorry to say, because they don't worship Jesus. They despise Jesus Christ. They despise the truth. And they want to take the Ten Commandments out of our school. And they don't want us to pray at football games and other public events and commencement exercises. And they don't want any prayer in schools. And they have gone to the courts. And these liberal judges, many of them Jews, have done this to us. Isn't it interesting that the law now says, according to the Supreme Court, you cannot pray at a public event? But I'm telling you, my friends, I saw all the members of Congress day before yesterday, and they all stood there together, and they prayed to God. And let me tell you something. It's amazing to me, and many of those people are probably heathen. Might be the first time they've ever heard a prayer, except a little fakey when they get by the Senate chaplain to begin each session. But let me tell you something, my friends. I didn't see one peep out of the ACLU or the Jewish ADL, all of those antichrist legal groups that are out to take every vestige of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the scriptures out of our society. There was not one peep from them. Hey, what Congress did, our whole Congress was unlawful according to the U.S. Supreme Court. I believe God sometimes reigns way over the heads of the Supreme Court. Don't you? Now listen to me very carefully. I believe, I'm not saying that Jesus is coming right away. I'm not saying that it's right around the corner, but it could be. I want you to please get out some scriptures and study them. I wish I had more time because these are powerful. Let me give you some scriptures that are very important. And my good friend David Meyer at Last Trumpet Ministries mentioned these scriptures to me, and I agree with him. They're very powerful. Listen to me very carefully. Jeremiah chapter 13. Please write these down and study them. Contemplate, pray on them. Please, I beg you. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. And Luke 21, verses 25 through 27. Let me just give you those again. Matthew 24, 6 through 8. Luke 21, verse 25 through 27. Jeremiah 13, verses 15 through 17. And Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Let me just read to you just a moment if I could. And I only have 2 minutes. In Luke 21, 25 through 27th verses, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24 verses 6 through 8 warns, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. It says, herefore, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Friends, if you have any comments on what I said, I'd appreciate hearing from you. I'd love your prayers for this ministry, Bible Home Church, and also for Power of Prophecy Ministries. We're going to fight all the way. We're going to support Jesus Christ and His Scriptures. I ask for your prayers. Help me to be a better leader and serve God. And until next time, my friends, this is Pastor Tex Mars saying, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.